Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And, you know, all of a sudden I was being asked to speak at universities and speak at funerals and all. So it changed me, and ultimately I wrote that other book, and then I've been writing. I've never written a sports book since. I've maintained my interest in sports, but my life really changed after that.
So people used to come up to me who knew that I knew you, and they would say, and this happened regularly. This did, not every day, but this happened regularly. Your friend Mitch album changed my life, and after a while I said, really? Shut up. I mean, what about me? Did I change your life? What do you think I'm doing here? I'm funny.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. We're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest, where we are open for breakfast. Have a very beautiful crowd. Yes. Even though it is raining for the 3,000th straight day.
It's as if the climate were changing.
Gary Braun is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will run the board and do the news. And in our attempt to continue to bring on people from different walks of life who've been more successful than I, even though when I first met them, I was more successful than them. The great Greg Garcia is with us.
Than they, I think, right?
Than they or them. Michael, yep. You were an English major.
One or the other.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it matters because you were wrong, really, and I got matter to correct you. No, that you doesn't happen that a lot.
At Frostburg, so, we say those.
Yeah, that's right. Frostburg State University, the Harvard on the western edge of Maryland. So when I got in here today, I wanted to... And we obviously are going to talk about football, but I was very excited because on the Today program, in the first 10 minutes or so, they showed clips of Leslie Stahl interviewing Donald Trump. And I said that it's the greatest quote I've ever heard from a president of all time. And Greg, you said...
I said, well, let's see if we agree on this. So we did a newlywed game.
He grabbed my legal pen. Right. Said, wait. Let me write down my guess.
And I wrote down my quote, and then then you told me what it was.
Here's the quote. I'm president and you're not.
Ding, ding, ding. We had a match.
That's right. I'm holding up Greg's answer.
You just don't expect that. You don't, even from him, don't expect that.
It is true.
It is fabulous.
I know you are, but what am I?
The only thing that would have made it better if he stuck his tongue out right after he said it.
It's just wonderful. And we will talk to Greg at great length later in the show about the guest book and the new season of the guest book, but is there something you want me to do?
Yes, I need you to do something for me. I do a contest on Twitter every day where I give things away in a pathetic attempt to try to get people to watch my show. And today's contest is I told them that I was going to have you pick a number between 1 and 1,000. And the one funny thing was, like, somebody said to me yesterday, well, like, what if the contest is compromised? And I'm like, first of all, I said, I'm not a sweepstakes, it doesn't matter. But I said, what do you mean? They go, what if Tony goes on Twitter? And I go, wait a second.
Tony's not
I go,
on
you
Twitter.
Might as well have a unicorn in the story at this point. Right. So I just need you to pick a number between 1 and 1,000.
Do you want it to be low or high?
Whatever. I want it to be a random number between 1 and 1,000.
Just to prove it's not fixed.
13.
Oh my God, I win.
Wow, okay, oh, no. 13, that is it. All right, that's the number. No. Now I have to wade through 1,600 entries to see who picked 13.
Okay.
And they win $500.
I was going to say,
wow. You just won somebody $500.
Are you Monty Hall these days?
I'm Monty Hall,
you just give away money?
I give away money. I give away, like, props from the TV shows. I give away things that people
best
gave my
we
wife.
We give away candy and bracelets and
like,
T-shirts.
It's sort see, of like our closet. Thing.
But the difference is, we... give away stuff that is given to us. We are not reaching in our own pockets like you.
No, I do a little bit of regifting. At one point, I was regifting some stuff, and somebody wrote on Twitter, why don't you just save us some time and have a yard sale?
Because he'll give, like, listen up backpacks and stuff. It's not always 500 cash, although
okay. Well,
it's
a lot of cash.
Well,
and
you just won someone $500.
And we
so
should
you
point out,
about yourself.
You can take part in this daily competition at Who Is Greg Garcia. On
yes,
Twitter, which
yes. I'll continue to give things away.
This note comes to us from Kim.
Why
Cook's
did you pick
13, father.
By the way?
I didn't. I picked 13.
Why did you pick 13?
It's my birthday.
Okay, well, 8th or 7/13 would be your birthday, technically. You have 1,000. You
yeah,
could have
no,
7/13.
I could have done that,
yeah,
but Greg said, don't overthink it and keep it simple. So
do I have to give away $1,000 now?
No,
he didn't say
7/13. No, I did not.
You told us off the air.
Stop saying numbers.
You always go 13 because it's your
yeah,
birthday.
Yeah, it's my birthday.
But if it was any number 1 to 10,000, you would not have gone 13.
So Gary just admitted that the number has been compromised.
No, not compromised. He said, does it make a difference what number? I always use the same number. We said, use the number. He didn't tell us what it was. But
I said it was my birthday.
Right, but...
anyway.
But we know your birthday.
I have this note. I'm Kim Cook's father. She was the assistant general manager of the Palm. She's been promoted to to assistant general manager of the Palm in Philadelphia at the Bellevue Hotel. She always spoke highly of you and said she doesn't see you as much as Houston now that you own your own place. All of which is true. I don't have a great end for that. That's the note. That's just lovely. The note. I thought I would read it. Let us begin with the football. Oh, we're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week. Monday Night Football is on tonight. It should be nicer tonight than this afternoon, I think. I don't know.
We hope.
Yeah, so, and we...
Is it Green Bay and San
What did
Francisco
we get? Did we get a helmet?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Did Brian Polian?
Where's the note?
I don't know. You said right. Look at the box.
Yeah, so Michael has the note.
Notre Dame now 6-0 or 7-0?
6-0.
Yeah, Notre Dame doing great. Although I watched...
Eking it out.
They needed a fourth quarter touchdown to beat Pitt. They were down to Pitt.
I think the coach would tell you that they'll actually take that. It helps keep player attention, right? Keep them close.
That was a close game.
Mr. Tony, if you are going to be a Notre Dame joint...
Which we'd like to be.
You need a helmet for behind the ball. Regards, Coach Polian.
So this is from Brian. This is an actual gold Notre Dame helmet.
It is an actual Notre Dame helmet.
So
very,
we're
very impressive.
And I'd like to get a Notre Dame flag or something to hang up. But I'd like to get it before the end of the season.
Yeah.
So that hanging it up, say, in January doesn't really do me
a lot.
Love
that. Wants a flag, gets a helmet, says he wants a flag. And he wants it now.
No, I don't want it from Brian.
But thanks anyway.
No, Brian. I don't want it from Brian. We can buy it. You can't buy the helmets.
Yes. Right.
No, we can buy the flag.
$20 on
it. We can buy the flag. All right. So I guess the headline, I don't know, there's a dual headline in terms of the NFL yesterday. And one would be that the LA Rams win again, though the backdoor cover kills Chuck Todd. Yeah. Chuck Todd, 2-5.
Yeah, that's the Chuck.
Regressing to the mean for Chuck Todd.
Monkey, 2-1, right?
Yeah. Or maybe 1-1-1 or 2-0-1 or something like that.
He was 2-1, the Monkey.
2-1. So the Rams remain the only undefeated team. As Kansas City goes down in New England, Chuck loses that game because it's 3.5, and New England wins by 1. So Kansas City wins that bet, and he had the home team. When you watch that, didn't you think you were watching the greatest past quarterback against the greatest future quarterback? Didn't you think that Brady and Mahomes are defining the league completely now?
Certainly in the second half you did. The first half, Mahomes looked utterly human. And then that second half, he did that thing we talk about every week where two or three times he's rolling in one direction, throwing in the other with incredible velocity and accuracy. And, yeah, he looked great. As I heard someone say before the game, who you got tonight, the greatest quarterback of all time or Tom Brady? I mean, the hype for Mahomes is crazy, but he didn't disappoint last night, and New England happened to have the ball last, so they win the game.
And Brady was great.
Yes.
And Brady also ran one in.
Yep.
Brady ran one in from 3 yards, the longest run of his career in the pros.
Longest touchdown run.
Because he usually sneaks these things in.
And, you mentioned the Rams. I read a stat that I found very hard to believe.
Do you watch the Rams out there? Are they a big deal in L.A.?
Yeah, they are. I watch them some. My buddy who moved out there as well, I'm staying true to the Redskins. He's switched over to the Rams.
Okay.
And the game last night, the nighttime game, it sounds like it was amazing. I'm staying with my parents. They were watching the Americans on DVD.
I was in the Americans. I thought they saw me.
I came here specifically to find out what the score was.
43-40.
That was a great game.
Wow.
The Rams?
Well, I don't know if you've ever seen episode 3 through 6 of season 1 of the Americans again, but it holds up. Holds up.
On that one TV, box TV.
It could be worse. Because I have not walked into my house in the past 6 months when the Hallmark Channel isn't on.
Oh.
Yeah, I got the Hallmark. So I can tell you everything that goes on near that gazebo.
Oh, I bet you know my neighbor. She's in every movie that the Hallmark Channel has.
I'm sure.
Good for
you. Well, I don't want to say I watch, because I walk in, and if it's not changed in 10 seconds, it is in 15.
Different. Yeah. That's what I do if she's in my living room.
So the Rams, have now 6-0.
They're great.
Have started 6-0 more than any other team in the NFL.
In the history of the NFL.
It's like, I think they used to be great. Seventh or eighth.
Anyway, Brady had 340 yards, one running, one passing, and no picks. Mahomes had 352, four passing, two picks. Those two picks were early. I was trying to craft something as to what happened in the NFL, because I'd taken these notes. The NFL is pushing towards the middle. 16 of the 32 teams are either at 500 or one game one way or the other. Like yesterday, Dallas, Pittsburgh, the Jets, and the Falcons, all with losing records, they all won. Jacksonville, Cincinnati, Carolina, and the Bears, all with winning records, they all lost. There was some fantastic finishes. I thought the Steelers-Bengals game was tremendous. Andy Dalton threw for a touchdown, and Roethlisberger went right down the field, found Antonio Brown for a touchdown to win.
Bears-Dolphins, a great finish.
The Bears, not for Wilbon. We'll get to him later. First, the Bears force a fumble on the goal line when they're going to lose. Then they miss a field goal. Then they allow a field goal by the Dolphins. I thought that the biggest surprise to me, Cowboys.
Yeah.
The Cowboys scored 40 points against Jacksonville. Now, that shuts up Jalen Ramsey for maybe 10 minutes. Maybe 10 minutes. But that was, to me, the biggest surprise.
It's crazy in this league how quickly everything changes. I mean, Jacksonville looked like a potential Super Bowl team start the season.
And, they did.
And now you look at their schedule, and they beat New England, I believe. But that's sort of their own win. I mean, they beat the Giants, which now looks like nothing.
That's right.
They beat New England, which is a nice win. They lost 9-6 to Tennessee. They then beat the Jets.
Tennessee just lost.
Jets are Redskins-like, and they're up down again.
That's right.
They got destroyed by KC and now destroyed by Dallas. You know, you mentioned the parity thing, and I think Collinsworth was talking about this last night, why it would have been such a huge win for the Chiefs last night. Everyone in the AFC except the Chiefs has at least two losses. They could have hung a third on New England and gone to 6-0.
I mean, yeah, but they didn't win that game. The other thing that stood out to me, because on the red zone, I saw this a lot in the afternoon, in the late afternoon. Baltimore sacked Marcus Mariota 11 times. Like that, you're in traction when that happens. I mean, that's 11 times.
They're good.
What is your offensive line like? And by the way, and what is your play calling like? Because if I'm Mariota and they send in a pass play, I go, no, I'm handing the ball off. I don't want to get hit
again, to Max Protect or
again and again and again and again. The season has been wonderful in that regard, that we're seeing very close finishes all over
and the
place.
And the Redskins was an exciting finish.
Well, it was
exciting.
No, it was exciting. And Greg, you're a big fan, so you probably felt great about this. Newton just sailed three.
Yeah.
I mean, Newton was not close on the last three passes where he's going to the end zone because they've got to score. And Newton had played well to that point and was way off.
Well, when we kicked that field goal, I thought, well, we're going to lose by one. I mean, I know I've seen this show many times.
Right.
And he failed at the end there.
I think that's fair to say because he was not. He was overthrowing people by substantial margins, and they were not good. But this is, well, you live with this, you probably have nobody to talk to in L.A. about the Redskins, but they'll lose the next game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is what the
Cowboys.
Where is it?
I believe here? It's in Dallas, but I'll check that.
I believe it's here.
Oh, here. Okay.
Oh, maybe not. I mean, that's a big deal for the first time in a while.
Dallas is going to show up. I mean, anytime Luke Kuechly made a play, yesterday you heard.
Was it full?
No, God, full? No. God, no. It's sad. It is. I mean,
have you ever thought about buying out all the seats and giving them to your friends?
Somebody offered me tickets for Sunday's game, and I was like, are you crazy? No, I'm going to be sitting in the basement. It's going to be warm and dry, and no.
It's just not a great experience.
Did you come for a high school reunion?
Yes, I did. Came for my 30th high school reunion.
How was it?
It was lovely. I got there.
Where was it? At a VFW hall?
They had it in. They had it in Reston for some reason.
Shout out for your high school,
a Yorktown High School in Arlington, and they had the reunion in.
Is
Reston.
That Katie Couric's high school?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes, we're both on the Wall of Fame. There's a Wall of Fame.
You're a WAF.
Yes,
that's fantastic.
And they took.
Now you just need to be a HOF, and you can be a HOF WAF.
They had. I like that. They had a tour of the school on Friday night before the football game because they had redesigned the school. So I stood in the back of the tour, and the whole time I kept going, are we going by the Wall of Fame? I said, where's the Wall of Fame? We had it in Reston, and it was fun. You know, it was, there was a bar event the night before. So then you saw everybody at the bar event. And then on Saturday, you saw everybody again, and you're like, so what have you been up to since last night?
Right.
So you ran out of things a little bit to talk about, but
it
was fun.
Did people know what you did? Were people aware of your successes?
Yeah. Some people do. What's funny is like it's a combination of like people that come up to you and they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, I like the show and blah 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 blah, and I saw this one or my kid watched that one. That's very nice, you know. You talk about that, but then you have people come up like you say, hey, how's it going? And they'll immediately go, I don't have a television. I'm like, all right.
Okay.
I mean, like I don't have any interest in
and
real
I'm
estate.
Vegan and I don't shave.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what do you mean you don't have a television?
Yeah.
What
is
that?
They just want to let me know. They're not interested in talking about what I do for a living, but that's fine. And a lot of people, there's a few people that had, you know, a little bit too much to drink.
Yeah.
And that's always fun to watch people like that. There's a couple people that should crawl into the ground like a cicada and not come out for 17 years based on their behavior. But that was fun to watch. So it was a good time. I'm glad I came back. I was on the fence, and I'm glad I came back.
No, no, no. High school reunions are
you
nice.
You get any material there? I would think like you would scour an event like that.
Yeah, probably. I probably got a few things that I can use later. The funny quote I liked was that there's a very precocious little girl that I drive to carpool in the morning with my son, and she's 11, and she was in the backseat, and I said, you know, I'm going to Washington, D.C. on Thursday. And she was like, why? And I said, because I'm going to my 30th high school reunion. And she goes, ugh. You guys have had 30 reunions? That's excessive. So that's my favorite line of like the whole trip, but I hadn't even left yet.
That's very good. All right, we'll take a break. Michael Wilbon is in an airport in Chicago waiting for us to call, I assume.
That's right.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Quip ad. One of the most important things we do for our health every day is brush our teeth, yet most of us don't do it properly. Quip is a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. Quip was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. I'm awaiting my Quip, right,
yes,
Michael?
Yes, you have I believe the slate one is on its way.
I guess I'm a little pushback is it's designed to make brushing your teeth more simple. How much more simple can it
brush your teeth
be?
Properly.
Sensitive sonic vibrations, gentle enough to use on your sensitive gums. Why? Because people brush too hard and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. A built-in 2-minute timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides. I guess you root for the Redskins and then you root for the Panthers at
yes.
one point. Helping guide a full and even clean 2 minutes. Why? Up to 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes or don't clean evenly. A multi-use cover mounts to your mirror and unmounts to slide over your bristles for on-the-go brushing. Why? It declutters your sink or cabinet and makes traveling with an electric toothbrush easier. Quip doesn't require a clunky charger and runs for 3 months on one charge. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, as opposed to my electric toothbrush, where the brush is the same for like 9 years now. Why? Because 3 out of 4 of us use bristles that are old, worn out, and ineffective. And Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association and has thousands of verified 5-star reviews. And it tells me to ask to say why I love Quip. Well, I don't have Quip yet.
Let me count
I'm
the ways.
I'm sure I will love Quip, but I don't yet. And that's why I'm supposed to say that's why I love Quip and why they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25. If you go to getquip.com/TonyK right now, you will get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/TonyK.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Michael Schlesinger wrote this. Said, I'm writing to you again from Singapore, where it is rainy season, which it is here in Washington, D.C.
Yes, all the time.
And where I continue to working to protect and promote the motion pictures and television industry in honor of rainy season and maybe Hurricane Michael as well. Here's my song appropriately entitled Rain. I'm more familiar with the Beatles tune called Rain.
Yes.
You have my permission to play it, and we'll find it on my soon-to-be-released album, Bold and Sane, on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever else music is sold. Being away from the United States, thanks for keeping me informed of all the really important news of the day, like Tim Kirchin's favorite fruit or vegetable and James Carville's preferred betting lines. Information for life. Michael Wilbon joins us now with a mixed weekend for Wilbon in terms of results. Saturday went very well as you won. You beat Northwestern, beat Nebraska in overtime, and you were terrified because, and I was watching this game, Nebraska was up 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Tony, that's just a game that scared me all week because Nebraska's not going to go winless because they've got talented kids. They're freshmen, and Scott Frost tries to rebuild there. But and to win that game, it would mean that Nebraska, for us, Nebraska would be winless after 6 games, 0-6, for the first time ever.
Yeah, they're a powerhouse, or they were.
And so you know how desperately they wanted to not have that happen.
Right.
And they have like 60% of the building on the road because I always remind people Every school in the Big Ten, I'm not counting Maryland and Rutgers because they're still not in the Big Ten as far as I'm concerned, but every school in the Big Ten has more alums living in Chicago than Northwestern does.
Well, Northwestern is the smallest school by far.
The smallest school in the conference.
What about, are you saying the crowd, Nebraska, you said, had like 60%?
60%.
Wow.
It was sold out. 60% of 50,000. And so it was like a home game for them in some ways. And I feared the game all week because Nebraska's got to be looking at the schedule going, we're going to take them. We could take them. And, you know, we were coming off, winning on the road at Michigan State. And we played better on the road. I don't know what's up with that. But it was down two scores. And, Tony, I had a moment where I just said, you know what, I'm going to get out of here. I'm angry. I want to get out of here. We go tailgate. It's homecoming weekend in Evanston. And then I was at the elevator and something said, no, you've done this once this year. You know, I missed a walk-off grand slam at Wrigley Field in a game I attended.
That's bad.
Walk-off grand slam, you know, the first one since 1939 where, you know, the team is down three. Right, I was against the Nationals. And I left that game to get Matthew, you know, home for, I don't know, the night before his basketball camp started or something. And this time I said, I got nowhere to go. I got nothing to do. Get over being angry. We'll see what happens. Because Nebraska's a bad team. You know, there's a chance here. And so, you know, as you pointed out, because you were texting me, when we went 99 yards to tie the game, fairly unbelievable. So, and our kid threw for 465 yards.
Yeah.
It's got to be a school record. I didn't see that written anywhere, but it's got to be a school record that Thorson threw for. So, yeah, so for that, I was sky high. One of the more gratifying days ever for me in that stadium and on campus for a home game to come back and win like that. And then yesterday, and I'm not going to call it despair, I am angry.
So you're angry at the coach. I texted you at one point. I thought the fumble in overtime at the goal line was absolutely unbelievable. Miami was going to go in and score. Their kid, I think his name is Baker. I don't know his last name.
Drake. Because Jordan Howard did the same thing earlier in the game.
That's right. But this is the win.
Right.
This is the win.
To end it in the first
Chicago recovers. Chicago gets in position for a very long field goal, and you are furious at the play calling on the Chicago drive.
I mean, it was gutless. I mean, this is the head coach is 0-2 for the Chicago Bears. The only two games that mattered this year against teams that were pretty good at Green Bay always matters. And then at Miami, and the guy, he just shrunk. He's bold and innovative for 58 minutes, and in the last 2 minutes, he goes back to being, you know, Woody Hayes. It was ridiculous. You don't set up a 53-yard. He's running off tackle.
That's crazy.
He's got a quarterback who was 9-for-12 on third down. Look, I tell you what, Trubisky, this was his second great game. He had a bad moment. He threw a pick when simply settling for the field goal. He forced the ball in the end zone. When settling for the field goal was going to put the Bears up 11 with 10 minutes to play. Instead, we don't get those three. And because of the pick, Miami has possession, goes right down the field, touchdown, two-point conversion. That's an 11-point swing. So Trubisky had a bad moment, but the head coach had lots of them. He's running off tackle. You've scored at will in the second half. They scored all their points the Bears did in the second half. They had no points at halftime. So you've got 30 points in the second half, and you go off tackle on second and four and third and four so you can get in position for a guy who's long field goal of his career is 54 yards, so he can kick it 53, and you're supposed to be a bold, innovative head coach? No, you're not bold anything. You are scared of the moment for the second time this year.
So this is exciting for me because in the last year or so, you have unleashed your anger at Mitchell Trubisky, you've unleashed your anger at Ryan Pace, and now you're unleashing your anger at Matt Nagy. I think that's his name, Nagy. Of the three of them, Who do you hate the most today?
Today.
Just today.
Today, the head coach.
It sounds like nagging.
Okay. Because he had players on the field. Ryan Pace's players put him in position to win.
Right.
You know, coaches always talk. Let me ask you something. What head coach in the NFL who's worth a damn doesn't let his franchise quarterback throw the ball a safe pass on 2nd and 4 or 3rd and 4 to move the chains and you keep going? You make that field goal under 40 yards.
Well, that's what if you look at great quarterbacks, and the two that come to mind from yesterday in particular are Brady and Roethlisberger. They always do that. They always do that.
Well, this guy but they're older. Supposed to be, again, bold, innovative. He's a step above Trestman. because 2 games that matter this season, his team, his players, put him in position to win the game, and he didn't come through for them. Coaches always talk about putting your players in the best position to win. How do you do that when you ask a guy whose career best is 54 yards to kick a 53-yard field goal on the road in the humidity of Miami?
So in watching that
was gutless.
Because I watch the red zone, so I'm not watching every play. I mean, we fly around from play to play. But uncharacteristically, I thought the Chicago defense lost that game.
Terrible.
That's your bread and butter. Right? That's your bread and butter.
Yeah, well, zero sacks.
They gave up a 43-yard touchdown.
Osweiler beat him.
75-yard touchdown. They gave up 118 yards in touchdowns in back-to-back series.
Yeah. Yeah, so, Brock Osweiler.
Listen, again, Trubisky had a moment that he needs back. But he's making his less than 20th start in the NFL. The defense was tired. You could see it. And, Tony, I'm sure that going from the snow of Chicago on Thursday to Miami, they were gassed.
They said it was 100. It was 100 degrees.
Them.
Yeah.
The head coach didn't do that. So I'm blaming the head coach. And it was a disappointing loss. And again, Tony, he does wonderful things. I mean, the play design. I mean, he is bold and innovative as hell. You know, he's Andy Reid part 2 for 55 minutes. And then at Green Bay and in Miami, he wasn't up to the moment.
Well, he's a rookie,
and
too.
How many times do you get that chance as a head coach that you're not up to the moment?
So let me go to people who are up to the moment, Andy Reid and Bill Belichick. And that game was really exciting.
Spectacular.
That was really good. And, you know, what I said at the open of the show was you may have been looking at the greatest quarterback of all time passing the torch to the new great quarterback. How did you feel about that game?
Same way.
Yeah.
Same way. I mean, Tom Brady to walk with purpose across the field and hug this kid and say whatever he said to him.
I wish I knew what he said.
Yeah.
I wish I knew what he said.
Yeah. I mean, that was.
Because that was admiration. Brady, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, look, I mean, three teams started off being stories we're not accustomed to in the NFL, in whatever order you want to call them. The Rams. Jacksonville and Kansas City. Two of those teams have upheld their new status, and one of them has turned into a dog right before our eyes.
Right.
And that's Jacksonville.
That's right.
And so, you know, you shouldn't let the Cowboys have that kind of lead no matter what. But so, I get that. But Kansas City is wow. Wow. And the Patriots, you know, I mean, you
the
know,
Patriots
going back
delivered.
To my team for a second,
Tom Brady so delivered. Like he did. He delivered.
Well, I mean, that's what he does.
He's 41, Mike.
Yeah.
Have we ever seen this?
Yeah.
Have we ever seen this? Somebody that old do that?
Landa?
No, he was a kicker.
No, he was a kicker only by then.
In any sport.
Unitas was limping off the field by then.
In any sport. That's so old relative to your sport.
Yeah. Testaverde? How old was he?
Oh,
I mean, he wasn't doing it at this level. But
no,
he's playing.
This is Tom Brady. He ran one in. He found Gronkowski.
Yeah,
I mean,
he ran one in.
Just
that's why after week one, I didn't want to hear this gloom and doom chorus about the New England Patriots.
Well, they know October. I mean, we talked about it. They're not great in September, but they're always great in October.
I'm going to see them in person. They're here in Chicago Sunday.
Is that right?
Oh yeah.
The early line.
They could lose that game. New England could lose that.
It's just you don't ever quote Vegas to me, Tony.
Right.
Because all it is about hype. It's only about hype. The Bears are nowhere near as good as they think they are, or half the people who talk about them think the Bears are.
So what's the early line? Chicago -1, -2?
Chicago a 1-point favorite.
Wow.
Yeah, minus one. Chicago minus one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's insane because they just lost to a backup quarterback. They just lost to, I almost said Berline. They just lost to Osweiler. So if you lose to Osweiler when you've got a lead, what is Tom Brady likely to do to you?
That may have been the open, but I'm looking now, and it's already New England minus three.
Yeah,
so,
I think
okay. Smart money jumped on that.
As quickly as they could.
Which is really minus six.
Wilbon, just to close the loop on your boy Thorson from the Northwestern, his 455 yards passing Saturday, sixth biggest single game. They've had three 500-yard games most recently. In 2009 in the Outback Bowl. You remember who the QB was?
Oh, that's right.
Mike Kafka went for 532.
Franz's son.
Yeah, that's their number one.
yeah, Franz's son.
I knew he was not a school record. Regular season
it's
record.
Top six.
And a record got to be in a Big Ten game.
CJ, is it Bachler in 2007? Went for 520 against against Michigan State.
520.
Bechet also did it against Minnesota. Went for 470 against Minnesota and Bassett.
Well, and Bechet was at the game Saturday.
I don't even remember.
They welcomed him back. Homecoming. A lot of people were back, but they welcomed him back. And yeah, it was stunning. Look, this kid was on draft boards last year. Our kid, Thorson, Clayton Thorson, and he tore up his knee in the bowl game. And so most of us thought, okay, he'll get redshirted in the NFL. He won't play next year in college. He won't come back for a final year. He's come back for a final year. And, you know, you have to – it's like the kid down in Houston, Deshaun Watson. You just have to play your way back. I feel for the kid. I'm glad we're doing the right thing by him. He's playing his way out of it, but it cost us a 1-3 start in all likelihood. Because we were up. We lost two 18-point leads. We're 3-3. We had two 18-point leads. We lost.
All right,
we were up against Duke, so it was, you know, he's a great kid. He's going to wind up, maybe he goes back on the NFL board now after he has a game like this, and he's got big games coming. Look, we're going to be on national TV again in 2 weeks. So Notre Dame, the Patriots are here Sunday, and then in 2 weeks, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish are in the house.
Ooh.
So we got a lot of big opponents coming in, and the chance to knock somebody off and ruin somebody's life.
All right, I'll see you later. You coming in today?
On the way in now, Tone, out of the 37 degrees that is Chicago, Illinois.
Well, it'll be stunning for you to find out it's raining here.
That's what it does. That's what it made you
live clean in place. Yeah.
All right, see you later. Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. By the way, I just looked up at the news. Harry and Meghan expecting a baby.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
No, that's news today.
It is news today.
Well,
are we counting backwards just to see if everything was okay on that? They're expecting a baby in March. I think we're okay.
Right. Yeah. They're safe. They're safe.
All right, we'll get out of here. I'm Tony Kornheiser. We will come back with Nigel in the news.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Speaking of Harry, this is the Harry's ad. What do you love most about shaving with Harry's? Love is strong. I like it. It's fine. I'm used to it. I think it's a very good product. Love, as Tina Turner would say, not sure.
What's love got
it to says, be very specific with your endorsement, the closeness of the shave, the smooth, comfortable glide, the weight of the razor, the handle, the design, the scent of the shave gel, etc. I do like the shave gel.
Yes, you do.
It
you
smells
talk about it all the
very,
time.
Very good.
It's nice. It is lovely.
Have you got Harry's?
I get the free trial that they give you for,
all
like,
the time.
For like $3.
Yeah.
And that lasts me the entire year.
So that's really good. You're maxing out on it.
It's holding out for the ZZ Top
Harry
deal.
Harry stands behind the quality of their blades, but they know that switching razors isn't an easy decision. You know, it's not an easy, it's not the hardest decision. It's not like moving out of town or something like that, but it's not easy. They created a trial offer that Greg is obviously endorsing. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. You know, like the big pizza sign.
Last channel.
Yeah.
Right.
They knew a great shave comes down to great blades made with sharp, durable steel that lasts. That's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for 95 years. By selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand, just $2 a blade compared to $4 or more. And if you don't love the shave, you let Harry's know within 30 days, they'll give you a full refund. This is the trial offer. This is what Greg is talking about. This is available to all of you people out there. You get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. the weighted ergonomic handle, the five-blade razor with the lubricating strip and the trimmer blade, the rich lathering shave gel, smells great, the travel blade cover. Listeners of my show, this high-quality podcast, can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/TonyK. Make sure you go to Harry's, HARRYS.com/TonyK, to redeem your offer, and then let them know, not that I sent you, say Greg Garcia, you know, sent you for this one.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Mike Blaisdell sends this in and he writes, I'm submitting a song composed by my mom, Barbara, permission below. She's a Syracuse alum, Edith Saliza, and her band Sensible Shoes plays throughout Vermont, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts, especially the Outer Cape. The Spampinato brothers of NRBQ fame both play on this track called See It My Way.
It's a great song.
NRBQ is pretty famous.
Yes, yeah, they are.
Absolutely.
For a long time. Wouldn't it be great to have your mom, you know, be a rock and roller? I mean, that's...
I would think so.
That's wonderful. You can listen to the extended versions of all of our music at the end of the podcast. We only give you snippets now. And Michael, if you want to reach out to people like Mike Blaisdell and his mom, Barbara, to send in their music, how would they do that?
Are you asking where you want people to send their music?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry. You did not really follow our normal daily routine as to how you introduce that ask.
I was changing
it up. I didn't know if you were going to continue.
I was changing it up.
Please send us your music by emailing the show at jingles@tonykornheiserhow.com. And before Dad throws another curveball, now that the weather's beginning to turn, we're getting some cool mornings. Check out johnnyo.com and use the promo code TKFALL and make sure you layer up for this new season. I was out apple picking with the little guy, just creating memories as a family, taking a lot of photos so I can share those with him as he gets older, just
Tony
to really
Rhodes.
Cement
He's not
going to
remember. He's 16 months old.
I will
he's
make
building
him
a foundation.
Remember.
Michael's yeah, building
did
a
you
foundation.
Take him to the corn maze yet?
We have not gone to the corn maze because that is just past his nap barrier. Everything needs to be about a 35-minute drive away because he falls asleep.
Greg, but did you take your children apple picking?
Do you guys get discounts on Johnny O? Did yeah. I say what I just heard?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, I just dropped some money in there the other day. I need
oh,
to
no,
know this.
Oh, no, you need to
yeah.
use our
oh,
code.
Yeah, yeah, I need to
oh,
use
the code.
Oh, send
it back and then use our code.
I'm wearing something right now. I'll send
yeah.
this back.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
Small world.
And send it back.
Who knew?
Oh, no, you're a friend of the show.
Okay, good, good.
So this right, is good.
Did I take my kids where?
Apple picking.
I'm sure my wife did when I was working.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds lovely. I saw a picture. We went to a corn maze once. Yeah.
Did you keep all the family intact, or did you drop any?
We lost a few. You used to have four kids.
Hopefully, we'll
stay
find
together.
Them at one point.
Yeah. So I wanted. Do you think Johnny O doesn't make golf wear though? Right? He doesn't make like rain pants. That's
There's
not what he does.
Not tactical rain pants. No, there are like the
tactical, like atomic.
The golf pants are. Color. You know, they would handle the rain to a certain degree. Like, they could handle...
Yeah, no, I'm talking
the
about
the rain
actual...
that we had on Sunday, you would need full waterproof.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I... So...
No, they okay. didn't... No, you have to look to a specialist okay. for that.
Do you have some news?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. We'll start off with college football. A couple of big games I want to highlight before we really dive into this. First of all, Georgetown Hoyas, winners of two games in a row now.
Yeah, they won.
After that 13-6 win over Lafayette. And Frostburg. That's right. Frostburg... moves to 5-0 after win over William Patterson, 56-love. How about that?
They beat Bill Pat.
Yeah, Bill. Bill Pat.
Did you even know that Frostburg had a football team?
I was not aware. I was not aware. I usually spent my. Do you think they play on Saturdays? I usually spent my Saturdays recovering. Yeah. So yeah. I didn't. I don't know. Right. I'm surprised that they got up to double digits with anything at Frostburg. Usually around single digits, we tap out.
Beers, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Some other slightly less important scores around it.
Notre Dame won.
Notre Dame won, yes. And again,
we've got a big
Coach
gold
Polian,
football helmet.
Thank you for the helmet. That looks
big
fantastic.
Old
yeah, they
helmet.
Beat Pitt 19-14. Georgia loses, though.
Loses
big, 36-16 against LSU, dropping them out of the top five. Other top
and putting LSU. Loses. I think LSU got into the top five.
No, they're not the top five.
No. Notre Dame is four. And I forget who's five now. Clemson's four, and Notre Dame is five.
Colorado loses.
Yes, West Virginia loses.
No. Notre Dame's in the top.
Notre
four
Dame
now.
Is four.
It's four.
Yeah.
Oh, Clemson's five.
No,
it, Clemson's
no,
three.
You're just doing
it's,
a terrible
yes,
job.
I believe it
no,
is. It's currently Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson Notre Dame, and
know.
I thought LSU
I think
was.
Colorado loses, West Virginia loses, Penn State loses.
It's carnage.
Michigan and Texas, and every time I mention Texas, I hasten to add, which lost to Maryland. They have, they both, since going 0-1, both teams are winning and winning and winning, are our top 10 teams now. If Michigan State were to beat Ohio State, they would be...
And Michigan's loss doesn't look so bad. It was season opener to Notre Dame.
Yeah. Notre Dame doesn't look bad at all.
But you remember for years there was a stat in the NFL, and I think this happened, this was until maybe 6 or 8 years ago when the Patriots busted the stat, but no team had ever lost to the Jets and won the Super Bowl in that season. And that stat was good, which isn't that weird because, you know, what a chance you play them.
Stat.
But it was, but that stood for the first 40-something Super Bowls. And I think of that stat every time someone mentions Texas because they lost to
Maryland.
a terrible Maryland team.
Big win for the Oregon Ducks, home of Nathan Garcia.
So this is your boy.
Yeah.
And you've been up there?
Yes, been up there.
What is it? It's just a tribute to Phil Knight, right? I mean, it's all about...
It's lovely. Every other car is a Subaru. Up there in Eugene, Oregon.
Because they love their children more than you do.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely they do. Safe statement.
Yeah.
Went up there going back for the UCLA game for Parents Weekend.
What's the deal with UCLA this year? They finally won.
They finally won, yeah.
I mean, they hired Chip Kelly. He's supposed to be great. Yeah, what happened there?
I don't know. I don't follow this stuff. I watched the game. I watched the Oregon Ducks game now just to see. I look in the stands to see if my son is being carted away. Because the apple doesn't stumble too far from the tree.
He told me before we went on, he called his kid at 8 p.m. Saturday to check in. The kid was waking up.
Yeah.
He's like, that's an odd time.
That was a big win. You got to celebrate. He's probably going to be in college for 2 or 3 months. You got to make the most of it.
To baseball, Mr. Tony, both Championship League Series tied at one game apiece. Red Sox beat the Astros 7-5 last night. Was a little dodgy again in the ninth.
I wouldn't put Craig Kimbrell in the game anymore. Craig Kimbrell and Sean Doolittle have that odd scarecrow-like stance before.
Yeah, hunched over.
You know what? Get Kimbrell out of there. He stinks at this point. And David Price, I know you think he won. He didn't win.
He didn't last five. 4 2/3. But they did. A team won for the first time when he started a game in the postseason. So
that's right.
That's
interesting scheduling deal there. Where the Sox and the Pats were going head to head, and tonight you have the Packers and the Brewers going head to head. Tough for people who are fans of both those teams.
Tough to see.
A lot of switching back and forth.
Tough to see. Brewers lose because Turner hit a home run.
Yeah, Turner hit a home run. And Gio Gonzalez was game one starter. We didn't get a chance to talk about that.
He went two innings.
Yeah. That's all they wanted from him.
Yeah, that was their plan,
I guess. Ball.
They go. Their problem against the Dodgers in the last game, in game two, is that Hader wasn't available because he pitched three.
And if he's not available, they're very vulnerable.
Well, Hader's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
Really is. Some happy news for Cal Ripken, Mr. Tony.
He's married.
Yes, got married over the weekend to his girlfriend, Judge Laura Kiesling. I hope we're saying that right. Kiesling or Kiesling.
I have no idea.
Of course, Ripken was divorced from his wife, Kelly, who was married for about 30 years. They were divorced in April of 2016. And Ripken, I guess, has been dating Miss Kiesling for over a year. Judge Kiesling, yes. Yeah. So we're very happy for him. I know you wanted to say some melancholy happy trails to Jim Taylor.
Jim Taylor, who you did not know the name.
I did not. That surprised me. Yes, I did not.
When the Green Bay Packers were the greatest team, when Vince Lombardi was coaching the Green Bay Packers in the 1960s, and Bart Starr was their quarterback and Paul Hornung was their halfback, Jim Taylor was their fullback. He was the only guy mentioned in the same sentence with Jim Brown as a running back in that period of time, and he passed away at 83 years old. Hall of Fame. Absolute Hall of Fame guy, Jim Taylor.
When they talk about, you know, the seal here and a seal there, I mean, that was...
Jim Taylor. That's the thing. That's that.
And I had a fun story for you. Well, not fun for one particular bloke. This is from Bristol, Tennessee. Now, this fight...
Not Florida.
By the way,
did you see Nathan Peterman? Did you see what he did?
Of course.
We threw the pick six late.
Six for 12 and two picks.
Threw the pick six late.
Do you keep trouting that guy out there?
Well, the other guy got hurt.
I know, but
because DeSean Kaiser's not available.
Did you see the James
I guess
Winston?
He's better than Kaepernick.
Did you see the James Winston last play of the game? Did you see that?
I'm sure that I did. Okay. But yes, I did.
James Winston takes off down the middle of the field,
but maybe 20 yards out, 25 yards out.
25 yards out. So then they start lateraling.
He runs essentially a QB draw on the last play of the game
for about 15 yards. Yeah. And if DeSean Jackson had picked up that ball. Right. They win.
That was
the weirdest
awesome play.
Last play. Usually it's a hook and ladder or something like. Yeah. No, he just ran, and he's a monster.
Yeah.
I mean, he.
That was a very creative play. And close to making it.
What is your story?
So this is in Bristol, Tennessee. We'll take it. That's
where they have a NASCAR race.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the origin of this dispute between 76-year-old Douglas Ferguson and his son. Now, this fight occurred on June 28th, and it revealed that the elder Ferguson tried to attack his son, who was mowing the yard, and he attacked him with a running chainsaw. During the attack, the son, who has not yet been identified...
He actually...
chased after his
with
kid
a chainsaw.
With a chainsaw. Chainsaw.
You'd have to conclude that the intent was to kill.
I would think so.
Riding mower or push mower was turned on?
I think it's a push mower.
Okay.
Yes. So during the attack, the son, who has not been identified, defended himself by running over his father with the mower. That's one way to do
then
it.
It's probably not a push mower.
And his son kind of has been identified because you've said it's his son.
Yes. Well, we just don't know.
It's one of the sons.
When you said he wasn't identified, I thought it was because he was in 1,000 pieces.
maybe it's Doug Jr. We don't know.
It's Turd.
Yes. And so police are wondering how this happened. And you'll be curious to know.
Have they put this together yet?
No, but this did occur on a house out on U.S. Highway 421. Mm-hmm. So we can only guess that it went something like, God said to Doug, kill me his son.
That's right.
Doug said, man, you must be putting me on. God said, no. Doug said, what? God said, you can do what you want, Doug, but the next time you see me coming, you better run.
That's right.
Well, Doug said, where do you want this killing done? God said, out on Highway 421.
Very good. That's
well
very
done.
Good. Yes. That's a great story. All right, we will get out of here, and we will come back. We'll talk to Greg at great length. Greg's television show, his current television show, The Guest Book.
Fantastic.
Starts in a week,
two weeks. Pretty much a week. Yeah.
Second season
on Turner. And everybody's seeing the promos for it because Turner's doing the baseball.
Exactly.
So it's likely to build a big crowd.
Well, there's something special tomorrow night, right? It's not the premiere. What's
sneak
tomorrow
peek.
Night?
We got a sneak peek tomorrow. No,
well,
yeah,
we'll
tomorrow night.
This.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll talk about it.
We'll
all
get
this
to this.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the ZipRecruiter ad. This is scripted option B, entitled "The Other Job Sites Script." And I read,
wait a
you know what's not smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. But you know what is smart? ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter does not wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply. So you get qualified candidates fast. No more sorting through the wrong resumes. No more waiting for the right candidates to apply. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the United States. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. I don't hire people, but Greg is in a position to hire people all the time. I would imagine that you know people that you want to hire and you don't go to websites or anything. Do you ever have like a call where you go to a website?
No.
I wouldn't think, not
no.
for television.
That doesn't sound like it's for me in particular. It sounds like a lovely
job,
service.
Yes, but not necessarily for you.
No.
So right now, listeners to this high-quality podcast can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/, and it wants me to spell out Tony for... Those of you, if I have to spell it for you,
let me get a pen.
I'm not sure you're qualified for these jobs.
It's with an I, right?
Yes.
ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio. Chuck Berry. Many classic Chuck Berry songs. This is the classic. Recorded on the Chess record label in St. Louis, Missouri. Fantastic song. Why are we playing this today?
Because on this date in 2014, Chuck Berry performed for the last time at the St. Louis club Blueberry Hill. And he passed
for Fats Domino's.
Yes. And he played there once a month, every month for like 30 years. And so, but that was the last time. He passed away a few years after that. So that was the sort of beginning of the end for him. But it was just a great excuse to play Chuck Berry. Yes. And he wrote it and recorded it in 1958. Just one of the greats,
so that's
as you said.
60 years ago.
60 years ago.
No, it's a great tune. Yeah. He's had a lot of great
covered
tunes.
By lots of people. Beatles covered this, but...
Everybody does Sweet Little 16. If Mitch were back here today,
yes.
Mitch would do Sweet Little 16 for you. It's a classic rock and roll song. Every band covers
and
it.
And by the way, not a bad song on the B-side, Reelin' and Rockin'.
No, it's a big sound.
Chuck Berry.
Greg Garcia is here. It's been pretty much downhill since he was the board op of the original show. You know, he's done well. He's had a lot of successes with a lot of shows. I guess most notably, My Name is Earl probably was the biggest.
Yeah, that's the one when people ask me what I do, I kind of throw that out there to see if, like,
right.
you know. And then usually they go, well, I think my wife liked it.
Oh, yeah, but because I don't have a television
yes,
set.
Yes, exactly.
I don't watch television. Yes. I just listen to Gregorian chants, you know, and sleep that way. It is the second season of The Guest Book.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Second season. It's coming on in a week, and I think the second season's better than the first season. So if you hated the first season,
you'll
hate this one a little less. But yeah, we have we start next week. A lot of guest cast, because every week it's a different people come to this house and stay, and then crazy stuff happens. So we got like Will Arnett and Martha Plimpton and Michael Rappaport and Paul Dooley from Breaking Away, the father from Breaking Away, 90 years old.
Is that right?
And just amazing. That guy Pete Davidson from SNL, who I think just broke up with his girlfriend, Ariana Grande.
Paul Dooley?
Yeah, he was great.
Was the guy who tried to make you take the used car off the lot. It's a great role.
Refund?
Yeah. Absolutely a great role.
How much do you have to do with the casting of these?
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, some of the scripts I have an idea in mind. Then other times, you know, what we usually do, because it's such a big part, we usually don't have too many auditions. We just look at a list and we see who's available, and then we go out and I write them a note and try to get them to do it. Paul Dooley was a guy. We had an episode in season one where we had this guy Orson Bean on the show.
I know Orson Bean.
Orson Bean was amazing, right? So 88 years old.
Orson Bean started out on game shows in New York, like What's My Line?
Exactly, yeah. And he's a sweet...
He's the history of television in one person.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And he had stories, and it was great. And he came in season one and played a very sweet old man with Alzheimer's, and they were trying to figure out, like, they were trying to get him to remember who he was by putting him in this house, and they slowly did, and he was in the KKK, and he was an awful person, and then we ended up killing him, and so when I wrote this episode for season two, I needed like a 90-year-old guy, season three, so I called Orson, and I said, Orson, I need a 90-year-old guy who's like sharp and ready
not
to
like
go
you.
Exactly. No, and he said Paul Dooley. He said call Paul Dooley.
That's great.
And so I called Paul Dooley, and he was up for it.
Are you writing and directing?
I wrote all 10 episodes, and I directed 6 out of the 10 episodes.
Okay.
Why some and not others?
Because there was a couple directors I wanted to work with, and I was worried because last season one I only directed 2 episodes, and I was worried about going from 2 to 10. I think next season, should we have one, I'll probably do 8 or 10 of them. Because I do enjoy direct them. It's a little easier just to write and direct them. Yeah.
So you are our friend of long standing.
Yes, indeed.
We love you and admire you. You're directing?
Yeah.
Like you're writing and directing shows that are on television. This is... So it's amazing.
Yeah, but the directing thing sounds, because it's kind of cheating, because I'm writing it and directing it. So it's not like somebody's handing me a script and I have to figure out how in the world I'm going to shoot this.
I've already written it.
Yeah. I already know what it looks like. And if it looks too complicated, I just take 5 people out of the scene. And now it's 2 people. So it's not too hard.
Would you want to do a movie now that you've done this? So do you say, no, that's out of my league?
No. A movie would be fun. People would ask me that early on, and the thought was I didn't want to do a movie because in television you're in charge, and I like being in charge. That's what I didn't like about the musical, is I wasn't in charge.
We'll get to the musical.
Yeah. So at the time, I wouldn't want to do a movie because you just hand over the script, and then you go see it in the theater, and the director can change anything, what have you. But now that I've directed a bunch, I feel like I'm capable. I could direct. Now I think I would be interested in perhaps writing and directing a movie if somebody would want me to do that. So as TV slows down, that might be something I try to do.
So let me go to the show, Escape to Margaritaville.
Oh, yes.
Which everyone knows that I went to see this show, the premiere, and loved it and compared it favorably to Hairspray, which I thought was great fun.
Yeah.
I was so impressed by how much the people in the audience loved it. I was so impressed by the buoyancy of the actors and the great feeling about it. It did not get reviewed well, obviously.
No.
Obviously. But what happens to that show now? What is your experience like from that? What did you love? What didn't you love?
So I remember coming on here before it actually premiered on Broadway, and I said, I hope it's either a giant smash hit or an absolute failure. Anything in between is boring. So I got my wish. I got my wish.
Man, that review.
Yeah. So the reviews were just scathing. I mean, and so I'm told.
I thought unfair.
Because
I don't read them.
I didn't read them. I've learned at this point not to read them. I didn't read them. Somebody told me a few things out of one of them, and someone did say that the Wall Street Journal said that I do D-level sitcoms normally or something, which I almost made them print a retraction because I do C-level sitcoms.
That's right.
But, you know, I think what happened with it, you know, you saw the show. It's a fun show.
Loved
and
it.
The thing is, people would come and have a blast. And I think...
What else do you want? The experience of seeing people act and sing and dance in front of you and you enjoy yourself.
Yeah. And in retrospect, I think what happened was they got a little greedy. I think they, you know, you saw that theater. It was a 1,600 seat theater.
Yep.
And I think they thought, we got, this thing is going to be huge. We're going to sell out every night. And they were doing really well on the weekends, but not during the week. And it just, the New York, the combination of the reviews and that meaning that the theater New York audience wasn't really running to it. And they didn't promote it as a comedy. So it was strange. So now what happens?
What
now,
is the future of that
show? So it lasted 4 months. And now there'll be a national tour. And now I think it should do well. I'll be surprised. I wasn't shocked. I was, you know, disappointed. But I'll be shocked if it doesn't do well. Because we went to New Orleans and Houston and Chicago. And it did great, you know, in La Jolla. And now we'll be going to, starting a year from now. In fact, it comes to D.C. Its second stop is D.C. A year from now. It'll be here for 2 weeks. Yes, please. Please do. And it'll go to places for like two, three weeks, and then it'll move on. And I think it'll be smaller theaters. Well, actually, it won't be, actually. Some of them will be bigger. But I think it'll be a limited run, and I anticipate it doing really well.
What is your overall impression of writing a script for a musical? I mean, you're hired to do that as opposed to writing those things which you normally write. How different are they? Is one more satisfying than the other?
I would say that writing a TV show is way more satisfying for me. I mean, it was fun and it was great. And I loved the experience, but you're given these songs and you're told go write a story that makes sense with these songs. So right off the bat, you're not doing exactly what you would normally do if you just sat down to write a story. You have to figure it all out. It's a math problem, and then along the way, it's not something I have total control over. So
yeah.
you're kind of working for hire, which is fine, but that's the job, and you have to kind of embrace that. But at the end of the day, like, I met a lot of great people. I had a bet with Buffett with the Saints-Redskins game, which I horribly lost for an expensive bottle of tequila. And I said to my
Buffett's
wife...
Well, Buffett's a degenerate gambler, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said to my wife, I go, no matter what, I have a bet tonight with Jimmy Buffett with the football game. This was all worth it.
Do you have a particular ambition now? Is there something in the back of your mind? I've done A, I've done B, I've done C. If I could do this, I would like to do this. Is there something?
Sleep.
Okay, yeah, sleeping is
no,
good.
No, I would say that, like, you know, look, you brought up movies. Sure, that would be fun to check that box. I mean, to do that and try it and see how it worked out.
Do you want to buy into this restaurant?
Sure.
You can do that.
Let me look at the Yelp reviews first, but let me talk to some people. I am very lucky that the show I'm doing now is pretty much where I wanted to get to, where they let me do whatever I want. Absolutely whatever I want. I write all 10 episodes. They're done. Then I go shoot 10 episodes. So while I'm shooting them, I'm not stressed at all because there's no other work hanging over my head.
Right.
And then I go sit in the edit bay with my friends, the editors, and we edit them. It's a dream scenario. So truthfully, if I could just do this show for another 10 years,
really?
I'd be as happy as can be. I just love it.
So I read a story a couple of weeks ago. I think I read it in the New York Times, but it might have been somewhere else, about how television shows don't have to be anywhere near as successful as they used to be to stay on forever and ever and ever. And the examples they were giving was some Tom Selleck show, or, you know, or, and then Hawaii Five-0.
Yeah.
These are getting nowhere near the numbers that they used to get.
No.
But they have a solid core group of people who want to watch those shows. And as we get more and more things put in front of our faces, things do stay around forever. Is that
Because there's so much out there. So if you can find your audience and keep that audience, you can usually, you know, you can stay on. Or sometimes they just like, even if it's just like critically acclaimed, they'll keep it on because they like that and it looks good for them on Wall Street. So many of these, you know, it's all owned by four people at this point, right? So all the studios and networks and what have you, so they want to look good on Wall Street as well. And they want to be able to crow about, like, you know, look at this, you know, we've got good reviews and everything. And, you know, The Guest Book was the number one new comedy last year. That's cable cool. comedy. Number one new cable comedy. I say that.
So that just takes out the four networks.
Takes out the four networks. Right. And I only say that, I only bring that up because nobody has heard of it. And so you've got so much stuff out there that it's the number one cable comedy last year. And most people have no idea what it is. And that just goes to prove you don't have to be killing it to stay on the air.
Well, you find niche audiences.
Yeah.
And if they're loyal to you, they'll remain loyal for a long period of time because that's the humor they like. These are the people that they like. Give us the particulars of it again so people
can
watch.
It's on TBS. Yeah, it's on TBS. It officially premieres on October 23rd. They're going to do two episodes in a row.
That's a Tuesday night.
And then following that, it's going to always be on Tuesdays at 10:30. Now, tomorrow night, they're going to do a sneak peek, a preview, I guess they're calling it, of the first episode after the baseball game, right after the baseball game. So I think out here, it'll be like 9 o'clock. On the West Coast, it'll be 6 p.m., which I'm a little nervous about because it's the filthiest of the 10 episodes. Oh. I mean, when my mother read the script for the first one, she said, "What's wrong with you? Like, you can't you can't put this on television." And she goes, "And you, what happened to shows like Yesteryear? This isn't you." And I said, "Well, this is me. You just don't really know me." But so I think it's a great episode and it's very funny. But I will say right now, like, don't leave your TV on after the baseball game and just go do something with your kids in the room. It's a dirtier episode.
I don't watch movies with my children.
This would make you incredibly uncomfortable to watch with your adult children. Yeah, but they're not all dirty, but this one has a few sexual situations.
And it's totally, it should be pointed out for people who may not have seen the first season and think, oh, I'll be lost or whatever. It's completely episodic.
It's new every week.
Completely. Yeah, it's new. Like, I mean, there's definitely some benefits of watching every episode in a season because I lay like little things in. You can actually catch me as the homeless man outside the restaurant in every episode.
Hard sell. Right. Hard sell.
But it's very easy to just watch one episode.
So I was thinking about this the other night. I was preparing a bunch of questions, some of which are stupid, like LeBron in L.A. Like, who really cares about that? But I thought back to the Dean Martin comedy roasts. Mm-hmm. Not the Joe, what's his name, who's so funny? The guy Ross.
Jeff Ross.
But these were things that could be on network television.
Yes.
But it was a type of humor, the sort of Don Rickles humor. And I thought back, it'd be great to bring back something like that, but you cannot do it anymore, right? That our political correctness is such that there are certain things you can no longer do, and that whole notion of comedy roast probably wouldn't work anymore.
Well, probably not.
Like, Mel Brooks has no career now.
Yes, but probably not on network TV. But aren't the comedy roasts that they do now like a million times filthier?
They're
yes.
filthy. But they're I don't want that. I'm talking audience. About network. Yeah. I'm talking about trying to put something that's actually funny on network television because there's nothing really funny on network television.
No, I think people would be too offended. I mean, it's a minefield. You have to be so careful.
Yeah, roasts have to be raunch now.
Yeah. So what do you have something? Somebody read back. In other words, if it's dicey for you,
yeah.
Who is your eyes and ears?
Well, on this particular show, I have my own barometer of like what I would say and what I wouldn't say. And if I think it's funny, then I'll push the envelope, and hopefully people will think it's funny as well. I mean, we have a joke in particular. There was a joke that was in a script, and there's this woman, and she's talking about this other woman has a secret. She says, "Oh, you can tell me, you know, it's women empowerment. I'm all about that. You know, time's up. Pound me too. It's all, you know."
Are we going to be able to use this line?
Yeah, we're going to be able to use this line, and everybody laughed at it, and it was funny, and in context, and it was fine. But it's certainly, I don't have the rules that you would have on network TV.
Right.
So they pretty much give me free rein to do whatever.
There's no editor.
There's no editor, right, for the most part. I mean, like this particular episode that that we're airing after the baseball game tomorrow night, there's some sexual situations. So there were some kind of notes back and forth about maybe a little bit too much bobbing of the head in this, and there was some negotiation and whatever. You can fill in the blanks there. But for the most part, they let me do what I want.
Yeah. And your parents are embarrassed, I hope.
Absolutely embarrassed. Although my father came out for a screening of the whole thing, and once he watched it, he was like, oh, that's not nearly as bad
as
what
thought.
I read. Yeah, yeah, because at the end of the day, you read it, and it seems like one thing, and then you see we're going to shoot it like a comedy. So,
all right, we will take a break and encourage everybody to watch Greg's show, The Guest Book, which, you know, I mean, I should really have a role in it. I haven't been asked to do anything yet, as I was.
When
I
get on a plane, Tone.
I put you on the Millers. It was canceled
right.
The next week.
That's exactly
when
right.
I'm done with this show, I'll give you a call.
I want to be the last one.
You're my closer. I just sit in the bullpen.
There's me and
wait.
Sean Doolittle, baby. All right, we'll get out of here. We'll come back with email and a jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag, got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag, gonna read some for all you folks.
That's Gary Braun, obviously. Let me thank Michael Wilbon for coming on the show. Let me thank Greg Garcia for sitting in. And don't forget his show, The Guest Book. Season premiere is next Tuesday night at 10 on TBS. And then you have the sneak preview after the game.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night after the game. Thank today's sponsors, Harry's Razors, Quip, and ZipRecruiter. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Jordan Beasley in Berkeley, California. No doubt you saw your boy Bronson Burgoon won a cool $522,000 for runner-up finish in Malaysia over the weekend. Can I expect an appearance on PTI this week? What is our position with him?
He's my favorite golfer.
I know, but don't we know his caddy or something like that?
I think his caddy is related to a listener of our show who lives in D.C.
And shouldn't we be able to get the caddy on the show or Bronson Burgoon?
We want Burgoon. I want him to face Bootsy.
Yes. I mean, everybody remembers that he stared him down,
on
hole number two at Avenue this summer. From Jeff in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, years ago when my family made a holiday jingle for you. My son's fifth grade teacher surprised him by playing the song in his class. Evidently, the teacher was a secret little, so now my daughter has the same teacher. I asked her to ask him if he was still a little. She protested, but eventually mustered up the courage to ask him whether he still listened to Tony Kornheiser. He answered her with glee in his voice. Yes, indeed, tell your dad I'm still a little. But when she reported it back to me, she was confused. She said that he told her to tell me that, yes, indeed, I'm still young. Evidently, our schools are failing at training the young the true meaning of a little, but take pride in knowing you're still a big shot at Cornwall Elementary School. Les Kozik from Westerville, Ohio, from Tuesday. Tony, David, do you have Comcast? David, yes. Tony, Liz, do you have Comcast? Liz, I have Fios. And Tony, I don't know if that is Comcast. Michael said, it is not. It is Fios. Never change. This is why I listen. From Pat Travis, or Travis Pat. I think it's Travis Pat. After watching the Brewers-Dodgers game, I'm not sure what is more exciting to watch, a pitcher hitting a home run or a fat lineman scampering for a touchdown. A fat lineman scampering for a touchdown.
Always.
BJ in Lovettsville, who's the son of Old Tom in Fairfax. When I heard your story about naming all 50 states, I became way too excited because I can name them in alphabetical order, both forwards and backwards. I used to do this as a way to clear my mind and train my body to fall asleep. If I was able to go through the states in both orders without error, I would move on to the MLB teams, then the NFL, and the NBA if I got that far. No chance on the NHL. I haven't had to do this in several years because I have kids now and falling asleep is no longer a problem. I am tired all the time. From Brendan in Arlington, Virginia. Mike Tirico calling out Brian Polian by name during Saturday's Notre Dame broadcast. Maybe the closest I've ever come to a David Aldridge moment. As a loyal little, I said, I know that guy way too loud in a room full of non-littles. When they asked me how I knew them, all I could come up with was, I like beer, which I repeated over and over until they left me alone.
That'll work.
Thanks to Bardo Kavanaugh, as we like to say. P.S. As a fellow Hoya, I tell Solicitor to eat it, but I know Lace would enjoy it no matter what it was. Sean Morrissey, Frederick, Maryland. I do the states. I do the capitals. I also do the presidents. Benjamin Harrison is my Nebraska nearly every single time. from, who is this? Gabriel Renault, or Renaud. This is in Herbal Iraq. That's
oh,
our
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, Gabrielle.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah Gabrielle.
Yes,
I'm
Gabrielle.
Sorry.
Yeah,
Gabrielle.
Big fan.
I love Chuck Todd on the show, but does he need to go full Hamlet on every single pick? Can you imagine how he would react on Meet the Press if his political analyst answered the questions the way he made his football picks? Chuck, who do you like in the West Virginia Senate race? Guess, I don't know. I wouldn't put my own money on it. Chuck, come on, who you got? Guess not. It's tough.
He is so
I'll
tortured.
Say Joe yeah. Manchin, but I wouldn't put my own money on it. Chuck, okay, you've got Manchin in West Virginia. How about Texas? Guest, are you really going to make me pick? Chuck, yes. Guest, I wouldn't touch that race, but if you're making me pick. Chuck, I am. That's why you're here. Incumbency's worth at least 3 points. Who do you have? Give me Ted Cruz, but I can see, is it Beto O'Reilly or Beto?
Beto O'Rourke.
Beto O'Rourke, whatever. Yes. Who is that guy winning an upset? When will Chuck tell us who he would actually put his own money on? He makes Saliza sound decisive. Jeremiah in Geneva, New York. That's upstate. Mr. Tony is quite sure that DeShone Kizer is the worst quarterback ever. Worst NFL quarterback ever. Well, the woman to whom I'm related by marriage is a Bills fan, and we would like to know, can we interest you in something Nathan Peterman?
Fair argument.
Peterman Ooh. Makes DeShone Kizer look Ooh. Like pre-butt fumble Mark Sanchez. Worse than throwing the ball straight up in the air, Peterman throws balls to wide open defensive backs. We see your Kizer, and we raise you a Peterman pick six.
He's dreadful.
Kizer's terrible beyond words. He throws the ball straight up in the air. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Rain makes the grass grow, makes the rain grow, makes the rivers overflow. Like sunshine, still makes you feel fine as it melts into your hand. Rain makes the flowers grow, makes the oceans grow. It's not like the sun, but rain makes the garden glow. It's like weeping tears of joy from the sky. Sometimes I wonder why it always seems the same. Rain can't play baseball, can't do much at all, except in silent praying. Rain makes me feel so low, except I won't let go my dreams of the sun. But rain makes your heartstrings glow. Let me wipe away the tears from your eyes. Let me wipe away the tears from your eyes. Makes our hearts feel so, 'cause we're weeping tears.
My way, see it my way, see it my way.